Thank you for listening to this sermon from Axe Christian Church. We hope you are blessed by the following message.
I'm going to continue this morning teaching on heaven and eternity. So if you have been away, this will be new for you. If you've been here a couple of weeks, I've also been away, but I've done one or two sessions on this. And so we're going to continue. And you know, I want to preach these things until when you go to bed, you can hear my voice in your head. When you dream about me, you must hear me speaking about heaven. And so I want to speak again and share these things because I believe that we need a shift in our minds concerning this, because a large portion of the church is not well. It's not well. And we need to get back to what the Bible is saying about our faith. So some of these scriptures might amaze you, but let's just get the foundations done again. And so we took our base from Hebrews 11, from verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So the Bible tells us we can confess this. It's not a poverty statement. We can confess, this earth is not my home. It's not my home. God is saying to us, don't love earth so much that we lose sight of eternity. And I asked myself this question, what is it that Abraham saw that caused him at the age of 75 to just leave his house that he had established, his family and friends, to leave everything he knew to go and follow God? And we see in the Bible that Abraham saw something. He saw eternity. And it goes on in verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And so God has a heavenly country in verse 16. There's a heavenly country, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. And so every one of us in Christ are destined for a heavenly country. I want to tell you this morning, heaven is a real place. And Jesus is alive. And God has put eternity in our hearts. And you will live forever and ever and ever. And compared to eternity, this lifetime, the Bible says, is like a breath. And it's gone. Compared to eternity. And so God has us here preparing us for a homeland. Now look at Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, both Abraham and Moses, by faith, they saw eternity. Somehow, the Bible says that the gospel was preached to Abraham. That Abraham encountered God and realized that there's a God in heaven that was going to call us as a family, make us sons and daughters, and that we would receive an inheritance. Do you know what that inheritance is? That inheritance is when we get to heaven, you're going to receive glory. On this earth, when you die, somebody else receives your inheritance. But in Christ, when you die, you will receive an inheritance in heaven. They saw it. They saw it with their eyes. And it was so powerful that when Abraham saw this eternity, he looked at what he had and said, "This is all rubbish compared to what I've seen. I am willing to leave everything that I have so that I can take hold of what is there." Look at Moses. He had all of Egypt. He was an adopted son of Pharaoh. He had power, wealth, and authority. But when he encountered eternity, he said, "All of these treasures are nothing compared to the treasure that I've seen in eternity." There's nothing compared to it. Amen. When we get to heaven, we receive glory. And I want to say this to us as a church. We need to fall back in love with Jesus Christ. Jesus needs to become so real to us again that when we close our eyes on our beds, we meditate upon him. When you wake up in the morning, you mention his name. He has to become so real that he fills your heart, that there's nothing on this earth that satisfies you, and that you begin to long for him. Because when I read my Bible, I see the apostles, they longed for Jesus. The apostle Paul said, he said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." He says, "I don't know if I should stay on earth and be with you, or if I should go back to heaven, if I should go to heaven and be with Jesus, which is far better." They longed for Jesus, but I fear so much of the church worldwide, we've lost our love for Jesus. We are more in love with what Jesus can give us than what we can, than loving him and who he is. When we get to heaven, you're not going to say, "Lord Jesus, what have you got for me? What have you got for me?" He is going to be your inheritance. He will be our reward. When you walk with him, you will be so in love with him in his presence. It's so beautiful. And the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection, and they didn't recognize him. The Bible says that their eyes were closed. And I don't know what that means, but they were closed. They didn't recognize Jesus. And so Jesus walked with them. And they were discussing all the things that happened concerning the death of Jesus. And Jesus began to reveal to them in the scriptures concerning himself, how the Messiah would have to die and be raised from the dead. And then he sat at a table with them and he broke bread with them. And then the Bible says their eyes were opened and they knew it was Jesus. And then he disappeared. But then it says this. They said, "Did not our hearts burn when he talked with us?" Just being in his presence, and their hearts were burning. There was something about him. The Bible speaks about Jesus as being our inheritance. He becomes our delight. And yet, right now in the world, we have a type of religion that only seeks what Jesus can give, instead of being true worshipers and lovers of him. When we get to heaven, He will be the center being. When we get to heaven, His name shall be above every other name. In heaven, there's no darkness. Did you know that? Because of Jesus, there's just constant light. When you get to heaven, you will be changed from mortality to immortality. So the Bible says we don't really know. The apostle says we don't know what we shall be. But when we see Him, we shall be like Him. It was like, he said, let me think about the one thing I know that is so glorious, that when we see Jesus, we will be like Him. He said, this is my aim in life. This is what I desire, what I want. So I want to go to the book of Colossians and chapter 3 from verse 1 says this. If then you were raised with Christ. So if you are a believer, you have been raised with Christ. Raised from the dead, so to speak. Spiritually dead. You are made alive with Christ. Now look what it says. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Christians, I think we've been so programmed, so earthly programmed, so materialistically programmed, that we are constantly worried about what we have or don't have. That's why so many Christians are so unhappy and disappointed and have no joy. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the joy of my materialism, not the joy of the clothes that I wear, not the joy of the car that I drive, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. That means it doesn't matter. I was in Zimbabwe yesterday. I preached for 4 hours yesterday. I want to tell you, there's some poor people there. It doesn't matter where you live and where you are and which country you're in. It doesn't matter where you are situated. When you have Jesus, you have the joy of the Lord. It's not based on where you live. But what we need is a fresh revelation and say, I need to see eternity again. I need to understand where I'm going. And he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. That's speaking of his nature and his graces, the graces of the Lord, righteousness. Have you ever had to buy a gift for a rich man? Who's ever had to buy a gift for a rich man? Let me see. Some of you need new friends. If you ever had to buy a gift for a wealthy person, it's a dilemma. What do you buy a man that has everything? What do you give Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? He says, the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. The gold and the silver is mine. The earth is mine. I created the stars and I called them by name. What do you give such a man? Can't give him gold, because in heaven the streets are made of gold. Gold for the Lord is like tar. Have you ever taken a clump of tar to a birthday as a present? I have something to give you. Gold for God is like tar. What about pearls? The Bible says the gates in heaven are made of pearl. For God, pearl is like, it's like wood. What do you give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What could we possibly buy him that he doesn't have? And that's what I want to speak to you about for the next 10 minutes. What do we give the Lord? It says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We will appear with him in glory. Do you know what God is saying? He's saying, live on this earth as if you are already in heaven. So God wants me to be an expression of who he is on the earth now. So he says, seek those things which are above. In other words, walk in your heavenly status. Walk as a citizen of heaven now. Amen. Right now. I walk in grace. I walk in forgiveness. I walk in the peace of the Lord. These are the things that come from above. So you say, what do you give Jesus? What would you possibly buy Jesus? Do you want to know? Do you want to know what's precious to him? Righteousness is beautiful to the Lord. When he sees us as his children acting in the way that he acts, it brings joy to him. That is precious. Actually, Jesus died to produce righteousness inside of us. And so when you walk with forgiveness and long-suffering and gentleness and peace, do you know what? It brings a smile on Jesus. He has everything he could ever want. Everything is his. But there's one precious thing that only you can give him, and that's the righteousness of your life. Only you can give him that. It's so valuable, even Satan wants your life. So the next verse tells us exactly what's precious to the Lord. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So Jesus tells us what's precious to him. He says, I want you, and can I just say this, church, right now, the Western church is ill. In the Western church right now, Christians are living together without being married, without shame. The churches are full of sin and unrighteousness. There's no hunger for prayer. We've lost our desire for the Lord, and we have forgotten who the Lord is. Actually, the Bible puts it this way. We have forgotten that we have been forgiven of our past sins. And I fear that somehow that many people may even miss out on that glory. Because the Bible says, don't be partakers with them of the wrath of God. Don't be partakers. God's wrath will be poured out on the unrighteous. And God says, do not be partakers of that. And I know it's not a common message. You know, when I preach these kind of messages, I seem to empty the church out a little bit. But there's an opportunity for you to say, listen, if God required your soul of you tonight, would you be ready to face glory? Would you be able to say, Jesus, I have been waiting for you. I have been preparing my life for you. I am ready for heaven. Or will heaven be a culture shock? You know, sometimes I go to a country and they speak different and they look different and everything's different. Food is different and everything just feels awkward and you don't quite fit in. Don't let that be heaven for you. When you get to heaven, you need to go in there. You know, you shouldn't walk into heaven and say, ooh, these guys are so nice to each other, eh? You should get to heaven and say, this is my people. This is my people, my homeland. I am home. Hallelujah. I am home. So God is preparing the church right now. Why? Because the Bible says when he comes back, he's not coming for a well-dressed church. He's not coming back for a church with lots of jewelry. He's not coming back for a church with shiny shoes. And I'm not, these things are all good, by the way. God blesses you. Remember, you use money, but don't let money use you. But what does it say? What does it say? He says he's coming back for a pure spotless bride. So you say, how do I know if I'm going to heaven? Are you the bride? Pure, spotless. Okay, now it's gone really quiet in here. I can hear the aircon blowing. Okay, let's go now to the book of 1 John chapter 3. And I read this last week as well, but I want to just say a few things. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That God loves us so much that He adopted me. He adopted you. He called us sons and daughters, and He gives us an inheritance, and that inheritance is glory. And Abraham saw it, and Moses saw it, and you must see it too. Therefore, the world does not know us. Does not know us. You cannot be comfortable in the world, and the world cannot be comfortable with you. It doesn't know you. You talk different. You act different. You behave different. You go to different places. Hello, somebody. The world does not know you because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We shall. How is He? The Apostle Peter told us. He said, be holy even as He is holy. So the Lord is inviting us into this relationship of transformed lives. Be holy as He is holy. For we shall see Him as He is. Now it says this, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Why is the church so impure? I believe it's because we haven't preached this enough. Because it says, everyone who has this hope purifies himself. We shouldn't have to have encounter weekend and classes and books and seven steps to walking pure. It says here, everyone who has this hope. What is the hope? Eternity. What is the hope? Christ Himself. What is the hope? Glory in heaven. Everyone who has this hope. So you have to meditate on these verses. That's why I'm going to just preach them for a few weeks. So when you go home at night, you'll hear me. In your sleep. Why? Because when you meditate upon it, firstly, your joy is going to come back. Because you're not going to care about what you don't have. Suddenly the Kardashians will not look so glamorous anymore. You're going to be happy with your house. You're going to be happy with your wife. What was I saying? So we meditate on this until this hope comes. When the hope comes, you're going to have peace. You're going to have joy. You're going to start preparing yourself to meet Jesus. What is our goal? To be like Him. To be like Him. How many of you know there's a sickness in the church right now? We're not hearing this message enough. Amen. We need to hear it. We need to apply it. This is in the Bible, by the way. Let me show you one more scripture. And this is, now the time has gone. There's the message that I prepared for this week. This is the introduction. But it's better we still have an introduction. Amen. How many of you know the foundation is more important than the roof? 2 Peter. Let's have a look at 2 Peter chapter 3. This speaks about the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, without warning. Ladies and gentlemen, now whether you die or whether Jesus comes again, it is always without warning. Is anybody preparing to die today? I don't think so. It comes like this. And your life will be required of you, young and old. So the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Did you hear that? Your house will burn, baby. And this is why it's important. God wants you to have a home. But don't love this world so much that when Jesus comes and you're flying through the heavens to your going to heaven, that you're looking down at your house with tears in your eyes as it burns. It should be, man, glory, here I come. I am ready for what God has for me. Amen. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. It's going to be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Holy conduct and godliness. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. This was the Apostle Peter's take on the whole matter. He was like, Jesus, just come back, man. Just come back. Come, let's hasten this. How do we do that? God is looking for a pure church. He's got to come back for a pure, spotless bride. And I pray that all of us preachers will begin to preach this message, because he says here, how do you hasten the coming back of the Lord? He tells us here, by holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Now look what it says. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, Acts Church, I want to listen to me. Jesus made a promise. I go to prepare a place for you. He has not lied yet. The Bible says, am I a man that I should lie? I go to prepare a place for you. Now, look what it says here. According to the promise. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What is our prayer today? Lord, teach me to love righteousness. Teach me, if your ear is blocked today and you resist this word, it's because righteousness, you have resisted righteousness and you want to hold onto your past. But what did Abram do? He says he left it. You have to leave Ur. You have to get out of your past. Walk out of it in Jesus' name. What did Moses have to do? He had to leave Egypt and walk out of it by faith, trusting God. By faith, leave your past. God will cause you to love righteousness, and you will see eternity, and you will purify yourself in Jesus' name. And what does he say? Just like Abraham, just like Moses, he says, we look for a new heaven. Moses looked for a new homeland. Abraham looked for a new homeland. We are looking for our homeland. Now, the next time I speak to you, next week I'm actually ministering in East London. We'll get to this. Because there's a few errors now. When people start thinking, okay, well, it's all about heaven. And so now we just be robots on the earth and do nothing on earth. No. That's not what God is saying. It's not isolation. But we'll do that next time. Is that okay? How many of you received something today? Amen. So I pray God would put this in your spirit. The whole afternoon, I pray the Holy Spirit just be talking to you, stirring something in you. May God open our spiritual eyes in Jesus' name.